I wonder how many of you, like me, grew up in the 1980s, 80s and 90s, and during that time, it was a wonderful time to grow up, by the way. During that time, there were these, the FCC has changed this rule, as I understand it, but prior to 1991, there were cartoons that were made that were basically glorified toy commercials. Like entire programs that were just designed to sell toys. And we're not talking about just like individual plush toys or dolls. We're talking entire lines of toys that were built on some of these cartoons. And I'll bet that some of you will remember these. Maybe you've got some still hiding in your attic or in the basement somewhere. But He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, or Voltron, or Silverhawks, or Care Bears, or My Little Pony, you know, things like that that would fill toy aisles back in the day. And I seem to remember having a few of those toys, but nothing impacted me harder than the advent of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. When the Ninja Turtles hit the scene, I don't know what it was about these guys, but like, they were everywhere for me. I was that kid wearing a turtle t-shirt, having a turtle backpack. I would take my turtle lunchbox to school where a turtle, you know, cream pie was in there that my mom lovingly packed. I don't know what it was. In the Turtles' defense, they were a comic book first, and then they became a soulless corporate sellout, just selling toys, you know, for big toy companies. But I proudly admit, I still have my old childhood turtles. If for some reason you don't believe me, you can visit them today in my office. If you open the closet in there, you'll be transported back in time to 1987, when Mirage Studios and Playmates Toys made a deal to produce a seemingly unending line of Ninja Turtle-themed products. And I don't know what it was about the turtles that I liked so much. I think one thing that I liked was that they all had the shell. There was something about the shell that I thought was cool. See, G.I. Joe didn't have a shell, right? I mean, Lion-O had a cool sword, but he didn't have a shell. And there was just something about that that, you know, even Batman had armor, but all the turtles had to do was turn around. So when the evil Foot Clan attacked, the turtles could... I brought one with me this morning. Of course, you knew I was going to. You know, when it came time to go into action, the turtles could duck into their shell if they needed to, right? Or two or three of them could like turn around and kind of pound the bad guys just by ganging up on them or something like that. You know, it was so cool that when I was a kid, I would wear a backpack to the playground and pretend that it was a shell. Certainly not anything I've ever done in my adult life, mind you. But as a kid, yeah, absolutely. The coolest thing about the turtle shell was that it was like a built-in shield. And I don't know about you, but I think it would be cool to be able to like carry a shield with me wherever I went. Now, I don't know if during the normal course of your day, you are attacked by an angry army of enemy ninjas and a shell would come in handy. But if you're a turtle, again, you're equipped, you're ready to go. You know, it does actually occur to me, we've been talking about the armor of God. We've been talking in Ephesians 6 for a few weeks now. And we talk in verse 16, Paul says that there are these flaming arrows that do pepper this spiritual battlefield that we navigate as believers in Christ. And so maybe a shield wouldn't be such a bad thing to carry around. Maybe we are not so dissimilar from 5-foot-tall, pizza-eating, ninja-practicing reptiles, right? Yeah, okay, very good. Well, that's going to take us to our sermon in a sentence today, which is this. Our faith is meant to shield us from the enemy's attacks. Our faith is meant to shield us from the enemy's attacks. If you're taking notes, I'll let you get that written down here. Well, I take a drink out of my Ninja Turtles coffee cup here. And let's invite the Holy Spirit to be part of our time together. If you'll pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful for faith. I'm grateful for faith because a lot of the time it's hard to live in the world. It's you know, having something better and something greater to believe in and to look forward to ministers to me a great deal. As Colin was saying, sometimes the world can just be a hard place to live. It wants us to believe all kinds of lies and mistruths. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us to cling hard in faith to the truth of Jesus, and not only to be able to stand up to the enemy's attacks, but also to keep others safe as well. I pray that your Spirit leans in on us today, Father, and that we would, I pray that you would help us to learn how to cling to that faith despite the onslaught of attacks from the world. We love you and we pray in Jesus through faith. Amen. So since we kind of took a break from this last week, for the 4th of July, we discussed something else. I want to get back into our Armor of God series. Let's look at that passage one more time in Ephesians 6. In verse 11, Paul says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Something tells me that Paul doesn't have a turtle shell in mind when he's talking about the shield of faith here. So let's talk about what Paul likely does have in mind, what he's drawing inspiration from. When Paul uses the word shield, the word is thyreos, from which we get the word door. So we're not talking about a small, easily carried object that, you know, we just raise whenever something comes our way. He's talking about a large door-like structure that one would hide completely behind, and then every once in a while you'd kind of get a jab in here and there. It was a very large object. Exhibit A here is a picture of what the Roman shield would have looked like. It's called a scutum. A scutum was a large curved rectangular shield. You can kind of see there that it's got, you know, that curvature to it, so you can kind of hide into it a little bit. It's made of wood and kind of covered with a leather or a sort of canvas and reinforced with a metal edging. And as we've already noted, it curved around the body. So it was not just for an individual soldier, but it was designed for a unit to fight together. Soldiers could lock these shields together in various battle formations. One such formation is called the testuo, or simply put, the tortoise. And it created a nearly continuous wall of protection, as you see in Exhibit B there. This is actually a pretty accurate picture of what faith can be. Faith is a personal thing, but it's not something that we're meant to live and grow in alone. It's meant to be sort of shared in community. Now, the scutum had a really neat feature. I guess that I always imagined that a flaming arrow hitting a wooden shield would be devastating to the shield, because after all, what does fire do to wood? It burns it, right? I mean, but in the case of the Roman scutum, it's very different. You see, I would always think that if you got a wooden shield and someone shoots a flaming arrow at you, you could block the arrow, but then say goodbye to the shield because the fire is going to burn it away. Which is why I always upgrade my shield right away when I'm playing Legend of Zelda on my Nintendo Switch, right? So in this case, though, what happens is the Roman scutum would be dipped in water. And then that leather or that canvas would sort of trap the water within it. And I don't know if you've ever tried to light a fire with wood, or I'm sorry, a fire with wood that has been rained on all night. If you get it to light, it's just very smoky. The fire doesn't last very long. Paul says in verse 16, "In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." And so here again, we have this idea that the purpose of the shield, and we've kind of discussed how it's set up, how it's able to do that. Now, fiery arrows have a singular purpose: to burn. That's the whole idea. So I want you to imagine for a moment that you're surrounded out in a field by enemies who are shooting flaming arrows at you. You probably got a memory or two you can draw from, right? And as you're doing that, let's say that you're lucky enough not to get hit because maybe you don't have a shield. But before you can say, na 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 na, you missed me, you look at where the flaming arrow is hit in the ground just next to you, and the grass has caught on fire. And now that fire has grown to the camp where you and your buddy soldiers have been hanging out. And then it gets to the forest where you've been hiding and taking shelter, and all of a sudden you're probably wishing that that arrow hadn't missed you after all. Similar arrows of a spiritual nature hit our world every day. Arrows of doubt make us wonder about God's intentions and whether he's really, you know, looking out for us. Arrows of accusation, which make us question our worth and withhold forgiveness from others. Arrows of fear that paralyze us on the battlefield, making us feel vulnerable and lonely. Arrows of lies that trick us into believing that the Father isn't looking out for what's best for us, that we can decide for ourselves how best to move forward. The shield of faith is a critical instrument in an increasingly skeptical world. Having a shield of faith doesn't mean that we pretend that such questions and arrows don't exist, but wielding it properly means that we know right where those arrows go, right in the center of that shield, soaked not with actual water, but with the faith that comes from knowing that God gives us power to wield that shield. Now, there are different words used in the New Testament that that can be translated faith. They all basically mean the same thing. But I want to look at what the actual word is that Paul uses in Ephesians 6 and what it means for shield-bearing Christians. The Greek word pistis can mean faith, trust, confidence, reliance. That last word in particular, reliance, works well for me when I think about using a shield. Because if I'm on the battlefield and the enemy's coming at me and I've got a shield, there are three things that I can do. Option number one is to stand still and get hit and get, you know, obliterated. I don't want to do that, so I'll go right on to option two. Option two, I can run. But I'm someone whose legs don't work quite as fast as his arms, so I'm all in on option three. Option three, when the enemy's sword is coming down on me, is to raise my shield and defend myself. And when I'm doing that, I'm putting all my trust, all my hope, all my reliance on that shield's durability, its ability to hold up under attack. It might, you know, get splintered and destroyed in that attack, but at least it saves me in that moment, right? So that is kind of the idea. I have faith, you see, that the enemy's sword is real because I can see it. I've seen what damage he's done with it. I know what he can do with it. That's a belief based on intellect and evidence. I have sufficient data at my disposal to know that my enemy's sword is a real threat to me. But pistis says that I also have faith in my shield. I rely on its construction, on its durability, very much on the spirit that forged it and gives me the power to hold it up in battle. Now, I know what you're thinking, but Zach, you silly scripture-sharing shepherd seeking to share with the Savior students the sleek, shiny shield of sacred service, I hear you say. Didn't you basically say that the shield isn't just for my use, but for my brother and sister's use as well? Indeed I did, dear friends. Earlier I said that the shields could sort of lock together in a way that gives us the image of a turtle shell covering the Roman army. Romans won battles because they stood together with their shield. The shield of faith is something that we carry individually, but Scripture consistently paints pictures of us sort of using our shields to cover our fellow brother and sister Christians. Faith doesn't mean that you never get hit, but it does mean that when done properly, it means that you aren't facing the battle alone. You may not be able to stop every enemy attack, but faith can stop attacks from defeating us. You know, I've been attending church my entire life, and I have to say, for all of the church's flaws, and sometimes we have them, I love being a part of the church. I have watched you guys rally around families when someone gets sick or when we lose a loved one. I've had the encouragement of folks reach out to me when my life has gotten difficult. I've never had to question whether you guys are thinking about me or my family or loving on us or praying for us. I appreciate being able to stand together with this church. I felt your shield over me in the past. I appreciate it. There's a story that surrounds it. Maybe you're familiar with the song Bill and Gloria Gaither wrote years ago, Family of God. Have you heard this before? You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so dear. I won't do the whole thing, but the story goes, if you're familiar with that song, that a man who lived in Anderson, Indiana by the name of Ron Garner, who goes to church where the iconic songwriting duo attends a church, he was critically injured in a devastating garage explosion that nobody saw this coming. It was kind of a freak accident, and he wasn't expected to make it. They thought he was going to pass away in the hospital. And so the church went to work when that happens. And they formed kind of an all-night prayer vigil, and people brought food and would just sit and comfort them and watch the kids so she could go and be with her husband in the hospital. And after about a week or so, church members received word that Ron was improving. It was actually expected to pull through. And being so impressed by how the church came together for the family, for the Garners, well, that inspired the Gaithers to write the song that celebrates their joy in being called a part of the family of God. Pardon me. I swear I'll be over this cough by winter. You know, something that I've always had people tell me, this is, I've heard this my entire career in ministry, especially this side of COVID. I have people tell me often, I love Jesus, I just don't necessarily care for the church. I don't think I need to go to church. You know, I can read my Bible at home. I don't need church. By the way, when people tell me they can read their Bible at home, they don't need to go to church, it tells me they're not reading their Bible. But I digress. That makes me really sad to hear people say that, because as we've illustrated, we don't win battles because one of us has a shield. We block more attacks when we raise those shields together. And I'm fearful for the faith of the person that tries to go it alone. Let's return to the world of the turtles for just a moment. One turtle is protected, right? But that doesn't necessarily make him invincible. There are some turtles that what they do is they sort of come together and they kind of stack themselves, or they'll group up themselves to sort of increase their defense. They need awareness. They need movement. They need survival skills, quick snapping jaws, a hardy pair of nunchucks in order to face the dangers that are out there. And when they group up together like that, you know, they have a greater chance of you know, protection when danger comes. And similarly for us, faith doesn't mean that we're never hurt. It doesn't mean that we don't struggle with doubt from time to time, but it does mean that we have something to rely on when struggles come our way, and come they will. And when they do, I'd rather be linked up with you guys than out there by myself facing that onslaught of attacks. Imagine, if you will, a group of turtles together. Each turtle shell protects itself, but as we've said, turtles kind of sometimes form a protective community. In fact, some turtles, like we said, they stack together or they group together for extra protection. And it seems to me that, you know, God, similarly, he gives us faith, which isn't intended for us to be exercised alone, but it's very close to that Roman military picture. The Roman soldier's scutum was personal, but the famous Roman formations worked because the soldiers trusted the people beside them to have their back. The soldier could focus because he knew the person beside them was holding their shield, and then he had the other person's back, and so on and so forth. And that made the unit stronger as they stood together. You see, a turtle doesn't build a shell because he hears a predator is coming. God gives the turtle a shell because he knows the shredder's out there and he needs some help. That's what God does for us. He doesn't wait until we're in trouble and say, hey, good luck with that. No, he gives us what we need to face the battle before the battle begins. A turtle's shell says, I've been designed for protection. A Roman shield says, I've been equipped for the battle. the armor of God says, I have been prepared to make a stand. Just because we walk with a shield doesn't mean that we never face danger, but we're prepared for the danger when it comes. Now, my guess is some of you are out there and you're thinking to yourself, he's just found some clever way to finally talk about Ninja Turtles in a sermon. He's been wanting to do that for years. Partially true, but two things can be true at the same time. Actually, I think there's something more about the turtle that sort of illustrates what we're talking about that I didn't know about until I started researching this sermon. Hang on a sec. See, the turtle shell isn't a glorified backpack. It's a part of the little guy's skeleton. It's actually built into his body. It's not, as it appears to be, one individual piece, but rather the shell is a system of skeletal bones made up of several little plates called scutes. And if you've been paying attention, yes, they share the same root word from the Roman scutum. The Roman shield is based on the concept of a turtle shell. I love that. Now you're probably thinking, with a protective shell right that like that built right in, the turtle probably doesn't feel any pain at all, right? Well, actually, if you think that, you would be wrong, which is okay. Don't get too upset. I've been wrong before. In fact, just the other day, Brian and I were talking about Indiana Beach. Do you remember the Indiana Beach commercials? And they had the crow that come on. There's more than corn in Indiana. Farmers are surprised to see that crows recently have been completely silent. They're not making any noise. They're not warning them that they're there to disturb the crops. Nobody knows what's going on. They're researching it. But right now, scientists just can't find the cause. Yeah. You. Some of you are rolling your eyes, but at least 12 of you send me these jokes throughout the week to use in sermons. So don't even, okay. Anyway, as we said, a turtle's shell is made up of many different bones or scutes, and they're so tightly locked in there that if you run your finger over a turtle shell, it does. It feels like one solid piece. If part of a turtle's shell is struck, a light blow won't really do anything, but a significant blow will not only hurt the little guy, but might do major damage. It'll break parts of that shell. Now, the shell can heal. It's a living part of the turtle, but the process works similarly to how broken bones heal, and some of you know what that's like. Some of you have had broken bones before. It can take a long time, up to a year, in Mr. Turtle's case, to be to be fully healed. Underneath the shell are blood vessels and nerves and living bone and vital organs and things of that nature. So when a shell is injured, the turtle feels it. It hurts. It can become infected and make movement very difficult. Now, if a turtle is lucky enough to be cared for by a veterinarian, there are a few things that the vet can do to sort of expedite the process, make things easier. There's orthopedic wire. There's braces that can be utilized. More recently, 3D printing. They can actually print parts of a turtle's shell until the missing bone sort of heals and takes over. But the point is, it heals. And maybe that feels like something you've been through recently. I wonder if there's ever been a time when you've raised your shield to withstand an enemy attack, and while you're still here, I'm glad you're still here, the attack seems to have rendered your shield useless. Maybe it cracked into splinters around you and left you feeling bruised and vulnerable. If that's the case, let me encourage you to take a lesson from our friend Mr. Turtle. Sometimes those bones can really take a long time to heal. It's not a quick process. But the good news is that healing can happen. And like when Mr. Turtle teams up with a veterinarian for faster healing, we have a whole church full of people to draw strength from and to support us and to draw aid from, to say nothing of our Savior himself, who is willing to offer a bit of healing. Colin read the verses this morning, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, I will give you what? Rest. When's the last time you felt like you've had a good rest? Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart. And you will find, there it is again, rest for your souls. My yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. The world is positioned to take us out, to take us down, to pull us out of the fight. But God has fortified us. He's given us faith. He's given us a shield. He's given us fellow soldiers who also have those shields to protect each other. And he's given us the power through his Holy Spirit to wield it. So fellow soldiers, let's stand firm in that battle. It can be a challenge, but it's a challenge that we can endure. Speaking of challenges, let's get to our three weekly challenges and we'll wrap things up. Challenge number one, my friends, is to raise your shields in faith. Raise your shield in faith. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that faith is the evidence of what we don't see. It's the substance of the things that we hope for. Where everything else we can prove because it exists and we can touch it and we can feel it. And faith sort of does that job for us when it comes to matters of the spiritual life. He then goes on to talk a great deal about the many men and women who have displayed great acts of faith in the Hebrew scriptures. Sometimes the fighting on a spiritual battlefield is so thick we can't see things clearly. And that's when it's important for us to bear the shield and trust that God will carry us through, because where the fighting is the thickest, the shield becomes arguably our most important piece of armor in the midst of that battle. So wield it in faith, relying on God's power to pull you through. Challenge number two then is to raise your shield together. Let's raise our shields together. Take a lesson from our Roman friends and from Mr. Turtle here. Remember that our shields work best when they work together. The Roman shield was as much for your fellow soldier as it was for you. And when your fellow soldiers have your back, it's a lot easier to fight with confidence. So wield that shield, protect your fellow fighters and yourself. Reach out to each other. When you see people hurting, or when you're hurting, draw on the strength and comfort of your fellow New Heights family members. And when the fighting seems lonely, don't forget that you're part of a larger team that's working for the same kingdom. Challenge number three is to raise your shield with Jesus. Remember, we're never meant to do life alone. It's not just our brothers and sisters, Christians, in the fight with us. We're here. But remember that we're fighting a battle that Jesus has already won. And when we fight from a position of victory, it changes the way we fight. We know that we've got this. More accurately, we know that he has got this, and he has also got us. Just as he promises to give us rest in Matthew 11, he also promises in Matthew 28 to be with us even until the end of the age. So battle on, dear friends, in and with the strength of Jesus himself, who gives strength to those who would draw it from him. Keep his word close by, keep his praise on your lips, and don't forget to retreat constantly to him in prayer. You know, as I grew up, grew into a man, and later learned that all the toys that I bought were simply designed to capture my attention and my hard-earned, you know, report card A dollars and things of that nature, I almost parted with them when I was an adult because I realized I'd been taken in by a ruse. It's just a excuse to make big toy companies rich, right? But then I realized that, you know, despite how they came to be in my possession, I've had a lot of fun with them over the years, and me and my brother, like, these are the stories that we would tell each other, and these are the adventures that we would have together. And so I suppose you would say that we're closer than a turtle and his shell, right? Okay, that was terrible. A cheesy line, but it helps us to remember how closely we should keep our faith to us, as close as a turtle is to his shell. And when we remember that a turtle shell is actually many pieces held closely together, that further illustrates this principle of how tightly we should cling to faith. The battle that we fight is far from over, and the arrows seem to intensify the longer it wages on. So let us cling tightly to our faith and be ready to block the arrows that the enemy sends our way. Now, I wonder if maybe you're someone who's out there today and you've never donned the spiritual armor before, you've never made an intentional decision to trust Jesus Christ with your eternity, with your salvation. If that's you today and you'd like to come forward and do that, we've got a baptistry ready to go back here. We'll get you baptized today. The gals are going to come up and sing one more song for us. The gals and Taryn. And they're gonna do one more song for us. And during that time, I'll be hanging out right here. And if you're ready today to give your life to Jesus, come forward and find me, and we'll get you in there today. If that's something you'd rather talk through before we do that, then that's fine. Get a hold of me throughout the week. My info is in the bulletin, and I would love to connect with you and talk with you about what it means to follow Jesus. For now, let's pray together. If you'll pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you for a faith that we can cling to when the battle seems fierce and unyielding. It's a great comfort to know that not only is Jesus with us, but we also have our fellow Christians fighting alongside us, and your Spirit is living in us so we can have faith that overcomes the enemy's attack. Father, help us to stay strong despite what comes our way, to patch ourselves up when we get knocked down, and to stand together in defense of the gospel and in the work of your kingdom. Help us to work together to lead others to new heights in Jesus. And Father, keep us safe as we rise to those new heights ourselves. We pray in Jesus through faith. Amen.